Lord, that fits real well with the message this evening. So I hope you just keep hearing that song in your heart as we minister tonight. Amen. I'm so excited. I hear many of you talk about how you're reading the Bible through this year. And it's amazing how it's the truths that we believe are just there from cover to cover. And I just read, I had started a little different reading program, but I had just read this week where when Joseph died, he's in Egypt, where Abraham and Isaac are buried is way away in the land of Israel. Yet it said when Joseph died, he was gathered to his fathers. Couldn't have been talking about bodies and burial because they're in another place. But when he died, he was gathered to his fathers. In other words, they were alive. Hallelujah. He went to be with them. Aren't you glad for the hope that we have? Amen. Turn your Bibles this evening to 1 Peter chapter 2. I'm not going to share an exposition, but I hope an encouraging thought from these verses tonight. You may wonder, maybe not, maybe you never have. You may wonder why I say that. An exposition is when you try to share exactly the reason the author penned those words. And that's what we're going to do tonight. He had other purposes and other reasons. But I want to share a thought from these verses and let the Lord speak to our lives this evening. Would you stand for the reading of the word? I really want to talk to us tonight as a people, both as Americans and as Christians. I believe the Lord would want to speak to us every age bracket because where we're at in life shouldn't matter to how we fit into this message this evening. Verse 9 of chapter 2 of 1 Peter. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, and though it's been preached that way, that doesn't really mean odd. It means very special, very special. That you should show forth the praises, and I don't want to stretch it here, but demonstrate. Demonstrate that you have been called. Show the praises of him by demonstrating that you have been called out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. And here's where the message is tonight. Dearly beloved, I beseech you, I plead with you, I entreat you, as strangers and pilgrims. Strangers and pilgrim. Did you know if you're serving God, if you're living for him, I'm talking about really living for him, not playing church, this or that. If you're really living for him, you are a stranger and a pilgrim in this world. What does he beseech us to do? In other words, since you're strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul. I want to try to minister tonight on this thought, out of place in this place. Out of place in this place. You can be seated. How many has ever went to some kind of social event and felt completely and totally out of place? So you know that feeling, don't you? I mean, maybe it was otherwise, but maybe it was casual and you showed up in formal dress. Or it was formal dress and you showed up in your overalls. But you felt out of place. I had that happen to me. I went to state competition in high school. We went to the capital city and stayed at a big motel, had all these competitions. And on the last night, there was a big social event, hundreds and hundreds of young people. And I didn't know much, still don't. But by the way, they were in, before I tell you this, they were in. They're coming in again, but they were in the late 70s. But I showed up in a three-piece suit. And I got there. And every other kid was in casual wear. I felt out of place. That's an awful feeling to feel. But I want to tell you something. If you are a born again believer, truly converted, truly a follower of Jesus Christ, you ought to get a little bit of that same feeling out in this world. Not the shame part of it, but just the feeling that, hey, I don't fit in. I want you to look at, or I'm going to talk about that feeling tonight. First of all, I'd like to remind us that it's a feeling that is real for the true believer. It's real. Let me come in the back door on this. If you're like me, you have a lot of angst and concern, a lot of, maybe I could put it this way, upset and sinking feeling about this coming election. Does anyone have that? Among the other things that it is, let me tell you, one of the reasons you feel that upset, sinking feeling is not just a love and concern for your country. One of the reasons you get that feeling is because you belong to another country. And that feeling that you're feeling is a renewed awareness that we just don't fit in. People think different than we think. I was listening to the news coming back from our trip, and I've already forgotten which college. I'm almost sure it was on the East Coast. But the college, instead of fighting the legal battles like other colleges have on this, they just capitulated this week, and they just came up with a policy that all the restrooms on campus would be unisex, no specific gender restrooms. Every restroom on that campus can be used by either genders. And when I heard that coming across the news, I said, I don't recognize my country anymore. Anyone feel like that? This is not the America that I'm familiar with. Anyone else feel like that? Do you feel like you don't belong? Do you feel like you're out of place in this place? Let me tell you what you're feeling. What you're feeling is, this world is not our home. It's a real feeling. I got to thinking, how many years old? Now I'm the one that's old. It just left me. Just like Brother Charles Scott that preached here years ago. It took a while for us even to catch what he said. But you remember when he said he felt as out of place as a milk bucket under a duck? Does anyone remember when he said that? That's pretty out of place. And I thought, you know, that might need updated somewhat. And I don't know how to update it. But maybe it's feeling like an Android phone in Apple headquarters. I don't know. But to feel out of place, it's a real feeling. If you're really born again, if your heart is really set on serving the Lord. And let me tell you, sometimes I know we all have troubles and people have always had troubles. But when we're having troubles with our body and we're having troubles with our automobiles and we're having troubles with our house and we're having troubles at work and we're having troubles, you know, some of that is not just the troubles of life. It is a reminder that this world is not our home. Did you know the scripture even tells us that we groan for the redemption of this body? It's a real feeling. Secondly, I want to share tonight that this feeling comes from who we are. It comes from who we are. Look what he says in verse 11. I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims. Let me give you a quick definition of those. A stranger is one that's living in a country that's not his. You say, well, America's my country. Well, there was a time we could feel that, but I don't think it really belongs to folks that think like we think anymore. A stranger is one living in a country that is not his, but he says we're not just strangers, we're pilgrims. What's a pilgrim? A pilgrim is someone on a journey to another place. Could I tell you again, we're headed somewhere. Amen. A pilgrim is someone on a journey to another place. passing through on the way to somewhere else. How many says, I feel that way tonight? I'm passing through on my way to somewhere else. We are strangers and pilgrims. Listen, this is either something I am or something I'm not. It's something you are or something you aren't. Amen. You say, now wait a minute. Maybe you're listening to me. Maybe you're listening to me. You're not really into this serving God stuff or with all your heart. You're listening to me and you're saying, now wait a minute, preacher. Are you telling me that I have to be a stranger and a pilgrim to this world? Are you telling me I have to live like it? Are you telling me I have to think like that, that I'm a stranger and a pilgrim? If you're asking that question, do I have to be a stranger and pilgrim? Chances are very, very high. You are not converted. You are not born again. You are not genuinely saved. Because it's not something, it's not a mentality that we have to adopt. It's not a way we must feel. It's who we are if we are born again. Hallelujah. I said, if we are born again, we are a stranger and a pilgrim to this world. Amen. It's something that those who wholly follow God, they recognize for themselves. I don't have to tell them. You don't have to tell them. They know it. I don't fit in. I'm a stranger here. You look at the world around you. You go to work. You go to school. Amen. You live in your neighborhood and you look around at folks and say, I have different values. I have different desires. I have different aspirations. I have different goals. I have a different outlook. I have a different perspective. I just don't fit in. I'm out of place in this place. And the reason is I've met the Lord. I've got a different heart. I've got a different nature. I've been born again. I've been regenerated. I'm a child of God, not a child of this world. It's something we are. I know, I understand political issues. I know that. And I know that in all these refugees coming into Europe and seeking to come into America, I know that there's terrorists that have infiltrated that and are slipping across the borders with those refugees. I know that. And I know what political stances we might take on that. Rigidity and all that. And I know we must protect our country. But I want you to know, in spite of the terrorists that are slipping in amongst us, many, many of those folks are genuine refugees. They've been bombed out of their homes. Their cities have been destroyed. Their limbs have been maimed. Their kids have been killed. And many, many of them, they may speak a different tongue. And they may have a different culture, but they are genuine refugees. And you look at those camps they've set up and all of those tents, and we can let the political issues override our feelings, and we think, well, I wonder how many terrorists are trying to set up cells and infiltrate. But I want you to know, those are people. They've been pushed out of their country, out of their home. I heard a report this week that some of them have lived in those tents for 3 years. 3 years. Not adequate medicine, food, water, any of those things. And you know, if we could just put our political understandings aside and think about how hungry many of those have been and how cold they've been, some of them lying out on the ground 3 years, we must feel some kind of affinity to them. And I'm not talking about physical suffering now, but when we think of those refugees uprooted and transplanted and away from home and amongst folks that don't even speak their language, don't even have the same culture, put your political leanings aside for a moment and think what that must be like. Do you feel any affinity spiritually to that? What I mean by that, don't you ever get to feeling that that's who we are? We're kind of like those refugees. I mean, how do folks in our world really think about somebody that believes this is the inspired word of God unchanged? How do they really feel about people like that? I mean, they may be looking at us, and they're increasingly doing so, looking at us as the problem. But more than how they see us, how do we see ourselves? And spiritually, Brother Richie, we're just like those refugees. You may have the best house in this town, but spiritually, if your heart is where it ought to be, Spiritually, you're living in a tent. Oh, heirs with them of the same promise, looking for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Amen. You feel that way. You feel out of place. Amen. It's who you are. Amen. I know some folks object and they say, well, I know how it is. When folks reach a certain age, they start getting old. They get their feel of sickness and they get their feel of flat tires and car trouble, and they get their feel of paying taxes. They increasingly begin to feel like this world is not their home. That, you know, that's when you get older. And Pastor, you're preaching that tonight, that you feel this world's not your home because you finally got to that place. You're just kind of fed up with life and dealing with the troubles. And I know that some of that is there even for the non-believer. But I want to tell you something. I haven't always been old. Wasn't that profound? Did you write that down? I haven't always been older. And I remember being these children age. Come on now. And I remember when they broke open the songbook and began to sing, "This world is not my home." I understood that as a child. I felt some kind of pull to heaven. I was aware, amen, that the values out there weren't the same as the values in the church. Amen. I realized that those folks out there weren't after the. I went to public school. I heard them cussing. I saw the drugs. I heard the stories of the party. And I might have been young, but when we sang, "This world is not my home, I'm just a passing through," I identified with that. I understood that. Hallelujah, because I was born again. And when you get born again, a stranger and a pilgrim is who you are. Hallelujah. Oh, you say that's such a simple song. It might be, but people like to sing it because it was the experience of those who were genuinely converted. I want to tell you something. I'm not putting a litmus test out there tonight. But if you've been truly born again, if you truly have the values of a believer, you're identifying with what I'm preaching right now. It's not that you're just fed up with politics. It goes way deeper than that. Oh, there's a pull to another country. Oh, aren't you glad? Aren't you glad there's a place where there's no sin, no evil, no wickedness, no death, no cancer, no sickness, no dying? It's not a pipe dream. Amen. It's reality. Hallelujah. I said it's reality. Amen. Before I move on, I want to look at that verse one more time. Did you know at first I thought I was preaching about about our only being two things? But did you realize there's really three things in that verse? Did anyone catch the other thing we are? We are strangers and pilgrims. There's one more thing he said we are. What is it? We are beloved. Now, I know that might have just been Peter speaking to his readers, the Christians, and Peter the apostle saying to them, "Beloved," but Peter was a representative of God, and the Father hath bestowed his love upon us. But there's something else we can realize. To this world, we're a stranger and a pilgrim. Amen. As we pass through, we're a stranger, but in relationship to God, we are the beloved. Hallelujah. In fact, that's why we're strangers and pilgrims. We're the beloved of God. I want you to know when things get rough, when things get bad, and when you come to the awareness you're a stranger and pilgrim, you also remember something else. I'm also the beloved. Hallelujah. Oh, isn't that wonderful? I said, I'm also the beloved. Glory to God. Some of you need to take that with you to work tomorrow. I'm the beloved. Amen. I've got problems at work, but I'm the beloved. I'm facing folks at school that don't believe like I do, but I'm the beloved of the Lord. It's who we are. Amen. Let's move on. This is a feeling that distinguishes us from those who aren't. Amen. In verse 9, it had this list, and I'm not going to preach of all those descriptive adjectives, but it says, "We're a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that we should show forth the praises of Him who hath called us out of darkness into His marvelous light." And however else you want to interpret that, it really means that our whole, this isn't just talking about a worship service, this means our whole life ought to bring praise to God when people can see a marked distinction between how we lived in the world of darkness to how we now live since He's brought us into light. Amen. You see, this feeling, it distinguishes us from those who aren't aren't saved, even that we feel out of place, shows that we've come out of darkness and we have come into light. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad you don't live in darkness anymore? Aren't you glad he delivered you from the power of darkness and has translated you into the kingdom of his dear son? Amen. Amen. I feel like this world is not my home. Amen. That's a good indication. I'm no longer living in darkness. I'm living in light. Hallelujah. If you're born again, you've got light on what's happening in this world. This may seem harsh, but I think by simple observation, a common sense conclusion is that anyone who feels at home with this world, feels at home doing the things the world does, feels at home being entertained by what entertains the world, I think a common sense conclusion is they're still living in darkness. They've not come out of light. Amen. To ever live as a pilgrim and as a stranger, we've got to fervently believe three things. I'm not going to preach them. I'm just going to drop on us. If you really feel like a pilgrim and stranger, you got to believe some. And this is beyond the gospel of Jesus Christ. You must believe that there's life after death. I've never seen so many people wanting to claim to be an atheist and there's no life after death. They always, and I'm not trying to be cruel here, but they always like to posture that they're so intellectual. That's why they're not an atheist because they're intellectual. They're an atheist for moral reasons. Because the moment they admit there's a God, they're obligated to someone other than their own selves and their own desires and values. They don't want to believe. I've heard several things this week of people boasting, saying, oh, there's nothing. I want to tell you one reason we're pilgrims and strangers, and we believe this world's not our home, because we believe there's life after death. We also believe that there is a resurrection and a rapture because Jesus is coming again. That's why we're strangers and pilgrims. That's why we feel out of place in this world. We believe Jesus is coming again. How can we get rooted in this world? How can we feel rooted in this world when Jesus is coming again? And another thing we believe is we believe it matters how you live life now. How we live life now determines what our afterlife is going to be. That's why we feel like pilgrims and strangers, beyond all these other reasons, being brought out of darkness and light, being transformed. And so I want to say one more time, this feeling like you're out of place, don't look at that as just a negative thing, because that distinguishes you from those who have never really been born again. And then it's a feeling that is at war with other desires within us. I would like to tell you tonight that once you got saved, you would never struggle with desire for the things of the world again. I can't tell you that. That's why you're in church tonight. One of the reasons should be because we have a struggle. And if you're here tonight and you're honest, you would admit that that is a true fact of your life. You've been brought out of the world. You've been saved. You've been born again. But we are a fallen nature, and we have desires within us that need to be sanctified, that we need victory over. And maybe you've got to a place I haven't. Amen. But I want to tell you, to me, every breathing saint of God still recognizes the truth of what I'm saying. There is a war going on many times within our own hearts and lives. We believe victory in Jesus. Amen. But victory implies that there's a battle. Victory implies that there's a war. You see, whatever pull, and we do, whatever pull we feel towards heaven, however out of place that we feel in this world, and we do, we still have to face and fight those other desires. Look at verse 11 here, if we could go back to it. Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from the fleshly lust which war against the soul. We feel a pull to heaven, but we also feel a pull to this world. Our young people tonight, I appreciate their attentiveness and their seeking God in this service. But if you would be honest, you know there is a pull of this world. But notice what it says here. These lusts, they war against the soul. You know, the world acts like these desires and lusts are a good thing, a natural thing. You just go with it. But Peter tells us what those desires really are. They are at war against our soul. Those desires will destroy your soul. They will destroy who you are. They will destroy your relationship with God if you give in to them. I'm just thankful knowing Christ, knowing the power of the Spirit, having the authority of the Word. Amen. We don't have to give in to those desires of the flesh. We can win the battle. We can win the war. Amen. Just because you feel a desire for something, amen, it doesn't mean that you have to surrender. It doesn't mean you have to give in. You can rise overcoming that. Be victorious over that. Don't let those desires pull you into the world. It's not the desire itself that destroys you. It's yielding to that desire. Letting that desire pull you into sin and pull you into the world. Amen. You know, I detest the Christianity today that seems to teach that there's nothing you can do about it. Amen. We're just following humanity and we have these desires and you just go with the flow and then you pick up the pieces and go on. It doesn't have to be that way. There can be a desire for God in you stronger than the desire of this world. You can overcome. There can be a pull to that place that's greater than the pull to that place. Desires at war against the soul. We're not in trouble when we recognize there's a war going on in our lives. We're in trouble when there's no war going on. You say, why? If you're not struggling, that means you've surrendered. If you're not struggling with temptation, that's because you've given in to it. You know, I'm not trying to be cruel or anything, but they do war against the soul. They destroy the soul. I mean, you give into those things and fornication and pornography and wickedness and, well, we could add slothfulness and everything else. You give into those, it does something to the inner person of who you are. Oh, I'm glad there's victory in Jesus, aren't you? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm not going to preach it, but I used to preach a sermon. You don't have to eat every time your stomach growls. Wasn't that profound? Did you write that down too? How many knows what I'm referencing? Did you know Esau sold his birthright? That wasn't just the material inheritance. That was the spiritual blessing that came from Abraham. He sold his birthrights because he smelled the beans cooking and couldn't say no. And he said yes. Amen. Just because his stomach growled, he didn't have to eat right then. He could have eaten later. Amen. We don't have to give in. I said, we don't have to give in. I said, we don't have to give in. Hallelujah. We can say no. Glory to God. You know how? Because we're out of place in this place. Amen. We are a stranger. We are a pilgrim. I've said this many times. I'm not sure if I still get across what I'm trying to get across. Amen. And I know how it is. Sometimes we have failures and lapses in our life. And I've said to young people, watching that bad movie shouldn't have bothered you. That shouldn't bother you. Huh? They said, watching a bad movie shouldn't bother me. No. What should bother you is that it didn't bother you when you were watching the bad movie. That's what ought to bother you. Because there ought to be something about our hearts that when it's something that's detrimental to our soul and our relationship with God, there ought to be immediate repulsion of that thing, rejection of that thing, guilt of that thing. Why? Because we are being pulled by other desires to heaven. Amen. Amen. He said, I beseech you, I beg you, I plead with you. And that's what I'm doing as well through this message. Pleading with you. You abstain from fleshly lust. Why? But answering the words of the Apostle John, he said, all that's in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, it's not of the Father. It's of the world. And then listen to what he said. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Those lusts will destroy And that's why Peter said, I beseech with you, don't give in to those desires. Keep going on the desires of the stranger and of the pilgrim. Let me tell you something that happens. I'm not going to get into any other angle of this tonight, but the point that I want to make. One of the tricks of Satan is to try to make you feel out of place in the church, out of place amongst the people. He loves that. If there was ever one of the main reoccurring things that people struggle with, it's that. And Satan keeps using it because he knows that it works. He loves to get people to feel like, I don't belong. I'm not a part. He loves to do that. You know why he likes to make you feel out of place in the church? So he can get you to feel in place in the world. So he can destroy yourself. That's why he does it. If he can get you away from the people of God, he'll insert you in another type of getting together. Oh, but we are pilgrims and strangers. Last of all tonight, that is a feeling that will not be disappointed. Amen. That feeling that I'm a stranger and a pilgrim, I don't belong here, I'm passing through, it is not going to be disappointed. Why? Because remember, a pilgrim, he's not just a wanderer. A pilgrim always has a destination. He's going somewhere. Amen. And here's the thing. This feeling of being out of place, this desire for another place to call home, it will not be disappointed, because there will be a day we will arrive. We will get there. Oh, hallelujah. How many believes that tonight? Hallelujah. Oh, hell, I still remember that old sister in our church. My, she lived 102 or 3 or 4. I still remember her singing. She had a real deep voice, but even as a kid, it moved me. Every time she sang, she'd sing, at the end of the journey is God. How many believes at the end of our journey is God? And in the house of the Lord, amen, there's joy evermore in His presence. We're going to come to the end of this journey. I know it's a struggle. I know there's difficulty and there's things that we face, but we are pilgrims. In the words of Hebrews, we seek a better country. We seek a better city. Amen. I said, we seek a better city. Glory to God. One day we're going to arrive. We are going to get there. You will not be disappointed. I guarantee you, not one person that makes it to heaven will be disappointed. I've heard folks be disappointed about destinations down here. What did you think of when you went there? What did you think of that restaurant? What did you think of that? Well, I was disappointed. I thought it would be more. Amen. I thought it would be better. I thought it would be bigger. I'm telling you, when you get to heaven, you won't be disappointed. I don't care what you had to fight. I don't care what you had to go through. I don't take care of the bad times you had. I don't care the sicknesses that you went through. I don't care the battles with darkness that you had. I don't care about the times that you thought you was even going to lose your mind because the spiritual warfare was so intense. I don't care the times that they made fun of you because you made a stand as a child of God. I don't care about the times they left you out because you weren't one of them. You'll never be disappointed when you make it. And can I tell you something else? Here we are pilgrims. Here we are strangers. Here we are out of place. But when we get there, as soon as I get there, I'll no longer be a pilgrim. I'll no longer be a stranger. I'll no longer be out of place. But I will still be beloved. Hallelujah. Could you worship Him tonight? Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Would you come, music? Amen. I know we got music ready. I want to modify for going. No, you come ahead. Amen. Sister Hurst, tell me you didn't know this either. I know it's a simple song. Did you find the words? Brother, we're just going to sing my conclusion tonight. Amen. Have you ever, I talked about being places that you felt out of place. Have you ever been somewhere that wasn't your home, but they really made you feel at home? Have you ever had a host like that? You had to comment when you left. You sure made me feel at home. You may say that to God when you get there. You'll be a little bit in error. You could say to God, you sure made me feel at home. You know how He's going to answer? Make you feel at home. You are home. This is your home. Does anybody feel this tonight? This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. You know, some folks say some silly things in unbelief. I've been chasing rabbits in Sunday school, so I just keep chasing them all day. I've heard people tell me, because I believe in the coming of the Lord and leaving here in heaven, that I'm an escapist. I'm just looking for a way of escape. Wouldn't that be a silly thing to say to somebody out in Oklahoma when those tornadoes come down, they saw it on the horizon, and they went running to the storm cellar and said, you're just an escapist. You're just trying. Isn't that silly? What if this building caught fire and someone opened that door and said, out that door, go out there. And you're out that door and somebody's standing there at the door saying, you're just an escape. I mean, they say it like it's an insult. I want you to know something. I am glad he made a way of escape. How many's glad this world isn't all there is? This life isn't all it is. Oh, hallelujah. You got the words to it, this world? We'll just stand. It's those same words we're used to. They change them up some. Amen. Hit G. Let me hear G. Sing with us. This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon me from heaven's open door. And I can't feel at home in this world anymore. To know I have no friend like you. If heaven's not my home, then Lord, what will I do? The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world. Do you feel that way? Sing it. Oh Lord, you know I have. We're the beloved. Hallelujah. If heaven's not my home, then Lord, what can I do? The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through.
My treasures are laid.
Depends on where you put your treasures. Oh, we're putting our treasures in another place. Oh, Lord, you know I have no friend like you. If heaven's not my home, then, Lord, what can I do? The angels beckon me from heaven's open door. And I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Oh, Lord, you know. If heaven's not my home, then Lord, what can I do? Oh, the angels beckon me from heaven's open door,
and I can't feel at home in this world anymore.
Amen. I'm going to open these altars, and I would just like to encourage you, if you have begun to feel at home in this world, you've begun to fit into the pleasures and the ways and the way of thinking and the values of this world, I want to encourage you tonight to say, oh God, I don't want, Lord, just remind, we used to sing another song, we're not going to do it. How many remember the song we used to sing? I don't want to become accustomed to this world. Remember that one too? Oh, hallelujah. You know why they used to write those songs? It's because they knew they were pilgrims and strangers. Glory to God. If you feel like you're becoming accustomed to this world, like you're fitting in, amen, something ought to be a rest in your heart and say, oh God, I don't want to become accustomed to this world. I want to be a pilgrim and a stranger. How many, let me see your hand if you believe we're headed somewhere tonight. Oh, hallelujah. Could you come and feel this? Oh, let's really seek him tonight. Could we do that? Let's just thank him that we're the beloved. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's sing just a little more of that. Hallelujah, would you come? I'm a pilgrim, I'm a stranger.
Lord, you know I have no friend like you.
If heaven's not my home, then Lord, what can I do? The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world. Oh, let's seek him tonight. Hallelujah.
Lord, you know.
Hallelujah. Let's seek him tonight. Thank you, Lord. I'm a stranger. I'm a pilgrim. I'm out of place in this place. I don't fit in. It's not because I'm strange. It's because I'm special. It's not because I'm odd. It's because I'm a holy nation, a peculiar people. Hallelujah. Oh, let's seek him tonight, church. Hallelujah. I'm not trying to preach again, but I want you to know, if you really want to serve God, if you really want to please him, amen. Some of you are right now, you're fighting a war with those lusts, but you don't have to surrender. You can abstain. There's victory tonight in this altar. You don't have to say yes to those forces that would destroy your relationship with God. You can say no. Amen. There's victory in Jesus. Oh, let's seek him tonight in this altar. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, there's a bunch of pilgrims around this place tonight. There's a bunch of strangers in the altar. This world is not my home. This world is not my home. Hallelujah. Oh, just be honest with them in the altars. Amen. Amid that war that's going on, amid the battle that's going on, amid the lust you struggle with, just admit it to God and say, God, I want to abstain by your help. I want to abstain by your power.